God, I think about those categories of people. Simple, mocker, fool, and wise. And I know that we have one of all types in this room here right now. And I also know that we all have characteristics of those who are simple. We all have characteristics of those who mock and those who are foolish, and hopefully all have characteristics of those who are wise. I want people to understand what those categories mean, what they mean to our life right now. And I'm asking you to help me know where people are in here, and to have my words be the words you'd have, and to help our hearts to be open, not to information, but to wisdom. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Last week we defined wisdom as seeing the pattern and following through. Wisdom isn't having knowledge. It's not Gnosticism. It's not moralism. It's seeing patterns and following through. It's a verb. It's how you live your life. And the more you follow through, the more wise that you become. And I now, you know, when you talk about something like that, you end up seeing all of these different patterns and things when you go about your day-to-day life. And today we're focusing on the role of relationships, and how in the book of Proverbs, over and over and over again, it shows that wisdom is inextricably linked with the relationships you have and what you do in those relationships. Wisdom is inextricably linked with the relationships you have, having the right people, choosing the right people, and doing the right things with the right people. Many of us, we have relationships that are deep, or we have them that are sort of shallow, like on some of the online services, whether it be Facebook or MySpace, those kind of things where you just kind of put out your information out there, and then you invite people into your world and you label them as friends so they can come and see your online profile and learn things. And this thing has just been taking off, and big businesses, corporations are realizing that they should have been more creative and having this thing themselves. And now they're trying to go and buy all the companies that have started this up, thinking of it as great advertising revenue. One such example is Facebook. It was in the Wall Street Journal this last week. Mark Zuckerberg just decided to invent this thing called Facebook. And what do you know? Bam, it is exploding. Millions of people are using it. And he's in talks with different corporations who want to buy it for up to $1 billion. $1 billion. This is a 22-year-old dude who's, I don't even know, I think he quit college. And he's had these interesting talks with Microsoft, and Microsoft got really mad at him because they wanted to have this meeting, phone conference at 8 o'clock in the morning to talk about this $1 billion thing, and he said he would be sleeping, so could they do the meeting later on? If someone wanted to like buy my little software thing for $1 billion, I'd meet with them at 3 a.m. But now he's like, no, I'll be sleeping. Can we do something like 10:30? Interesting. Now he's starting to get in a little bit of a bind because the interest statistically is starting to wane on these sites. People are starting to not be as into them as they used to, and so he might be missing his opportunity if he doesn't have that 8 o'clock meeting. Here's what it says in the article. It says, Carlo Montino, a 22-year-old living in New York, who killed his MySpace profile this summer. Mr. Montagnino says he was sick of reading the innermost thoughts of his 500 online, quote, friends. I don't care about the food they ate that day. I don't care about the new poem they wrote or the pictures of their birthday. You ever had somebody show you their birthday pictures? Like you want to see them. Can I tell you a clue? Nobody wants to look at your birthday pictures. They just, unless you've ever showed them to me, and I was very interested in that moment to see your actual birthday picture. But you know, no one wants to see them. They really don't. And now he might be missing his opportunity, but maybe it's a good sign that people are realizing it's not the same just having information out there as having actual depth of relationships. I was listening to a podcast with Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, very close friends, very strange close friends, arguably the greatest investor in American history, Warren Buffett, and arguably the greatest innovator in American history, Bill Gates, with having the Microsoft empire. And these guys are very, very close friends. Buffett, as you may know, pledged tens of billions of dollars to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and it's a fascinating friendship how these guys really interact with one another. It was also intriguing to me to find out that Warren Buffett only owns 100 shares in stock from Microsoft. You'd think he has influence with this guy, the greatest performing stock probably in the history of America, and yet he only has 100 shares of stock. And Charlie Rose, the interviewer, asked him, why is it you only have 100 shares of stock? He said, it's because I don't understand the technology business. You know, I don't know it well enough to forecast forward 10 years and know how that stock's going to perform. See, that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is when you can see patterns and you can forecast forward where you say, if I do this, then this will happen and this will happen and voila, this will happen. And Warren Buffett said, I don't understand technology enough to forecast forward and understand the pattern, so I don't go there. And that's why Warren Buffett has investments that operate. He understands patterns. He sees patterns. He steps back and he sees them. Let's take a look at the patterns that come about when you look at people who are simple, people who are mockers, people who are fools, and people who are wise. This comes to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and here's what it says. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. This is the metaphorical person, wisdom speaking, not necessarily God, though God is inspiring this. It's a metaphorical person called wisdom speaking. Wisdom calls aloud in the street, and she raises her voice in the public squares. See, that's a sexism in the Bible I don't like. Why does wisdom have to be a woman? That doesn't make sense to me. You know, men aren't stupid. She raises her voice in the public squares, and at the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. And here's what she says. How long will you simple ones love your ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you. Wisdom is saying, I'm trying to give insights. I'm trying to give direction. That's what a rebuke is. I'm trying to help you understand patterns and help you to change this or that. Would you just listen and understand the things that I'm trying to help you see and communicate? Some of the people that we have in this place fit in this category. Everyone fits in these categories, and everybody understands elements of these categories. Some people in here are like this. They're the simple. The simple. The simple are those who are in the very early stages of wisdom, or maybe not even to wisdom yet. The simple in scripture are oftentimes those who are young, or at least it's those who are young and being able to identify patterns. The simple are those who are too naive to see patterns and follow through. They're too naive. Maybe they haven't lived long enough to be able to understand the way things work. This is why many of us in college came out of college with credit card debt. Everyone's going, oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah, we've come out of college with credit card debt, or if you're in college right now, learn from the rest of us who were simpletons in college. You know, credit card companies understand we're simple, and they have marketing campaigns to get us to do their credit cards because they know that we don't understand 19.8% interest when we're 19 years old. They know that we would rather, like myself, go to Pizza Hut and put $20 on the Visa, then have macaroni and cheese, and even though the pizza is going to turn to something I can't use in about 12 hours anyway. But yet, at the end of 30 days, there I have, at the end of 30 days, bam, something that I can't do anything with, and I have this thing called a low minimum payment. Oh, it looks so nice, only $12 a month. And yet, a simple person just goes off that low minimum payment, and what do you know, years later, we are deep in debt. And when you're simple, it's not necessarily that you're stupid. You just don't know. You haven't been in the place to deal with the realities of that. And that's what it means to be simple. You're naive. You're naive. And it could be any area of life. You just don't see the patterns. And it doesn't help that there's people who are over here, people who are mockers. People who are mockers who shout things at you. The mockers are those who are in such a bad place personally that they don't want anybody to get in the way of wisdom or go down the path of wisdom. So mockers have a bullhorn. And they're saying, don't listen to that preacher, man. Don't listen to him. Go ahead and get your pizza. He's such a moralist. And mockers will just tell you, oh, you deserve it. Put it on the credit card. Oh, if it makes you feel good, do it. Mockers just, they try to get other people to keep from going down the path of wisdom. See, mockers are too proud to see the pattern follow through. Mockers are so far gone from the path of wisdom, the pattern that actually works in the world, that they don't know how to get back there. So the best thing that they can do is try to get other people to come over to where they are. And they have no desire to change. They have no desire to grow. They're mockers. This is kind of like a deck, a backyard deck. This was one of the places where I was mocked. I don't get too much mocking because I think people realize, well, you know, you're kind of a pastor type, so I would expect you to be weird. So I don't get all that much mocking like you might. I mean, if you actually follow through on wisdom, people might mock you more than they do me. I see it when I get mocked when people are in the car driving out of the parking lot. That's when I get mocked. You know, and some of you are going to walk out of here and you're going to receive that because you came with somebody, who's a mocker. They're going to try to dismantle everything I said. Oh, he's a moralist. Oh, that's little backward things. Oh, you know, and that's okay. Well, it's not okay, but I know that's the way it works. But I very rarely face to face get mocked. One of the times that I was mocked was when I was on a back deck, and I don't know how it came up, but I was with a friend, and this guy I've never met before gets on this thing where he talks about people who give away 10% of their income, called tithing in the Bible. And he just goes on this rant. Who in the world would do that? It's a ridiculous thing. He's going on and on and on and on. And I'm sitting there going, I do and have since I was 19 or something like that. Oh, that's ridiculous. And he just mocked. He didn't want to understand why. He didn't understand the benefits of my life. Didn't understand. He just mocked mercilessly. And that's what mockers do. They mercilessly come down on you and keep you from following through on a pattern that you believe that you see. So one of my faults as a pastor or as a communicator, and I'll admit this, is I've felt in the past that part of my role as a pastor was to, define morally what is right and what's wrong. And sometimes there is that sort of that role for me. I mean, I guess that's something that's important, but God really isn't into moralism. He isn't really into helping people, you know, do the right morally thing. He's into getting people to understand wisdom and the way that life works. Now, what is the right thing certainly ties into that, but it's a difference when you come to somebody from what is right and what is wrong versus what is the pattern that will enable your life to work. Does that make sense? Okay. So let me tell you one of my faults that I've done in this in the past, and I'll try to take a different way of wisdom with this. In the past, I know so many of us, and I understand here, I know that bring this up. I thought, I don't want to bring this up because I know I'm going to get mocked, but that's all right. I'll do it anyway. I know one of the great things about our church is we just have so many people who are in so many different places, so many different lifestyle church choices. I love that. And I know in here we have, I don't know, hundreds of people probably in this room right now, hundreds of people who are living together outside of marriage. And let me just talk about that just for a little bit. Is that a wise thing to do? Is that a wise thing to do? See, the Bible doesn't say, well, you know, thou shalt not liveth under thy sameth roofeth if thou haven't said Iath doeth. You know, it doesn't necessarily say that. But let's talk about wisdom. What if you forecast forward where you want to be, if you understand what you want your life to be about, you have to think through every choice the way it works. Now, a simple person with this thing just sits here right now and says, oh gosh, I'm going to attract this person. I want to have this. I want to have this. It makes sense financially. It makes sense sexually because it's easier. It makes sense geographically, all these things. So everyone else is doing it. So poof, I just follow that. That's where you are. If you're simple, you're naive, and that's just where you go. But if you say, one of the things I want is I want a long-term committed relationship. A long-term committed marriage, is this the wise thing to do? I encourage you to do this. Go on the internet and do your own research today. I did a bunch of research on this, and I found out that there's all kind of statistics out there. Do you know that 42.7% of all statistics are made up? 42.7% of all statistics. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. But I found out that statistics I saw, one was 80%. If you live together before you're married, you have an 80% higher likelihood of being divorced than if you don't live together before you're married. Saw another study that said you're three times more likely. A couple researchers from the University of Rutgers did a massive research on this. And here's what they said. They said, a careful review of all the available social science evidence suggests that living together is not a good way to prepare for marriage or to avoid divorce. And so if you want to do this, what you do is you say, I want to do the wise thing. So I'm going to interview people perhaps who lived together before they got married. I'm going to interview people who didn't. I'm going to try to project forward what happened 2 decades. And these are just the things you do, not because you want to be a moralistic person, but because, and you actually, if you want to be wise and you're actually living together right now, you're welcoming this. You're welcoming this because you're going, man, I don't know that I like that, but I like being challenged and I want to see if there's a different pattern that might make my life work. Whereas the mocker just would accuse me of being a goody two shoes, accuse me of being old fashioned, leave it to Beaver, ridiculous. Because that's what mockers do. Mockers don't help anybody. Mockers just pull down people that are trying to have a life worth of value. And there are mockers. And then there's fools. fool, you know, the mocker is actively screaming out, trying to bring people down. And the fool is also off the path. I like to think of myself as wise, but this is one where I relate to a lot. The fool. The fool, is one who is too lazy to see the pattern and follow through. So as the mocker is too prideful to see the pattern fall through, and the simple person is too naive to see the pattern fall through, the fool may actually see the pattern and may actually know how to follow through, but is just too lazy. Because there's a lot of things that are wise that are hard. Is that true? Let me just give you one example for me. And I do this one all the time, and I can't believe I do this. In fact, some of you have heard me give this illustration before, but it just happened recently. So it just shows that I have foolish elements of myself. When I interact with my wife and we get into a debate or an argument, it is my desire to garner all of my communication abilities to do what? To win. That's right. All of my communication abilities, not to understand what she's saying, not to see if there's a win-win, not to see if she might have words for me to grow on. No, I want to win. That's what I want to do. So I will pull on all of my abilities, communication abilities, and my vast repertoire of illustrations and my history of things I can use to get my way. And as I go into this, and then it'll invariably come to her saying something like, okay, I guess you're right. You win. Are you happy? No, I'm not happy. Absolutely not happy. This is at that point, I realize, shoot, I did it again. It's so dumb. Just utterly stupid what I did. See, I learned a proverb. It's not in the Bible, but it is a proverb. It's this. He or she who is convinced against her will remains of the same mind still. He or she who is convinced against her will remains of the same mind still. And when that happens, I realize, gosh, I might have won the argument. I still could have been wrong, but I might have won the argument. But guess what? Nothing changed and things got hurt. Now there's a new pattern. The pattern is this. The pattern is she's mad at me. The pattern is we're going to have a stale couple of days. The pattern is I'm not going to get any. The pattern is it's just going to be a really hard deal. Hamburgers I'm talking about. Just, yeah, you're not going to make any for me. That's the pattern. I realized I just did it again. When you do things that are foolish, that's what happens. You're in the heat of a situation, and you know the right thing. You're just too lazy, and you just get off the path. You get off the path. See, the thing about wisdom, why we're calling this a verb, it's about applying and following through on what it is. It's not what you know that makes you wise. It's what you do that makes you wise. It's not what you know that makes you wise. It's what you do that makes you wise. It's not who you are underneath. It's what you do that defines you. This is an accurate statement for wisdom. Many of us have these feelings like we're a person that really performs when I need to. No, it's not what you know. It's not your opinions about yourself. It's not your values. It's not what you know, what you think you'll do in the right situation defines you. It's what you're doing right now. What you are doing right now defines whether or not you're simple. What you're doing right now defines whether or not you're a mocker. What you're doing right now defines whether or not you're a fool. And what God wants from us is to be on this path of wisdom, to be seeing things, seeing patterns, and actually doing them. And with every step, we get closer and closer to seeing more patterns and having a life of greater and greater value. Who's the wise person? The wise is really just a simple person that sees patterns and follows through. That's all a wise person is. It's not a PhD. It's not a person who's old. It is somebody it is a simple person who sees patterns and follows through. Now, one of the marks of somebody who is wise, and this is seen repeatedly in the Bible, is somebody who will receive feedback, who will receive words of instruction. All the other folks tend to not receive words of instruction as much as the wise person. The person who you would think needs to receive the least amount of words is the person who receives the most amount of words. That's why they need the least amount of words. Because they're the most wise. They receive. They understand. There's a pattern here. Other people see things that I don't, and I want to receive it. Here's one of the things that Proverbs says about wise people and receiving criticism. It says this. Let all who are simple come in here. Wisdom is saying, hey, those who are simple, come in here. Come in here. Dwell with me. Dwell with me. She says to those who lack judgment, come eat my food. Drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. That's not the verse I wanted. There's another one. I'm sorry. I think it's Proverbs 4, something like that. We have another one back there. Our great video guys. Yeah. No. Okay. I guess we don't. If we do, they'll put it up there and you let me know when they do. You can do it. Bill, you can do it. Come on now. I probably messed up, you know, I probably did, so I'm sure it's all my fault. But what happens when we're not wise is we don't receive feedback. We don't receive criticism. Do you know what? People talk about you. You realize that? They talk about you. Every decision that you make, everything you do, people talk about. They talk about you. They talk about whether or not you're dating the right person. They talk about even when you're getting married, whether or not you should or shouldn't be. You ever notice that? You know, go to a wedding and you're going, oh man, you know, they talk about you. They talk about the way in which you're raising your kids. If you have kids, they talk about whether or not you buy a new car too often. You know, Lib and I do, you know, we do. We'll say, oh, did you see what I can't believe? No, since we're married, I guess we're one. We're not really gossiping. We're just talking amongst ourselves, you know, is I think the way that works. But, you know, you do that. You just, you talk about. So here's the thing. If you know people are going to talk about you anyway, no matter what your decision you do, and you know what? They might be right, because when you talk about somebody, you're probably right, aren't you? That's why you're talking about them. Or at least over 50% of the time you're right, or you think you're right. So it just makes sense that if everyone's talking about you anyway, why not get it on the front end? You know, there's a personal board of directors that you have that could help you be wise. Why not knight people in your life who are a personal board of directors that can help you? I can't tell you how frequent people who are wise, who are on the path, receive things from other people. This last Wednesday I had Thursday, I had breakfast with Brian Wells and Greg Boyd, and I had some issues and inner stuff that I was trying to wade through, emotional crap, and man, Greg just took a knife and he just flayed me right down the center of my chest and just opened me up, and I saw kinds of stuff in me I hadn't noticed before. And it doesn't have to be a guy like Greg Boyd, it could be anybody who's outside who knows you. They have these unique things they can do. I can't tell you the role just in this church. What happens when people counsel other people? We have various churches actually now from around the nation that call us and want questions. They want to set up times. And so what we do is we lump them all together every few months. We have a Saturday thing where churches will come here and we'll build into them, share with them, say, this is what we do. It might not be what you want to do. It might not be who you are. But if you want to learn from us at all, here's what we do. And we've done a few of these now. And far and away, the most shocking thing that people see is what happens on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we do a full service run through. We have a meeting with all the volunteers, everybody who's on in service, and we meet for a half an hour, and then we have a full service run through everything. And these pastors and other people, when they hear about this, they say, well, you mean just the music and the videos, right? I said, no, everything. I preach to an empty auditorium at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Empty except for the volunteers who are running cameras and in the booth and a couple other select people. Brian Wells comes every time, even though he's not on stage. He comes every time and sits there and sits through the thing and to give me feedback, to give me constructive criticism. And I can't tell you that little thing, how much of a value add that adds to everybody who's in here. Last week, this strange thing happened. We had this volunteer who was running camera. Very first time, never met the guy before. And grabbing pizza right before the service started. And he said, hey, I got a thought for you in your message. You know, and in the split second moment, you know, I couldn't help but think to myself, you know who I am? You have a thought for me. Moi. You ever been up there on stage? Do you ever tell, you know, split second, the thing goes to my mind. Like, oh. And the guy, I said, yeah, what is it? And he says, he actually was the one who gave me that chess master illustration I used last week. The thing about how grandmasters, when they take a look at a chessboard, they see patterns. I heard that was like click, click, like gears just click for me. That was like a 15% difference in my message, easy last week, 15%. Who would have thought, you know, a person like that who's never actually been on stage here would have this value? It was huge. Who would have thought that maybe your babysitter actually can give you some insights about your kids? Who would have thought that your assistant has some insights to your business? Who would have thought? See, wise people that say, I don't care who you are, where you are, And I know that I can't have my whole life about receiving criticism, but wise people say, I want to be in a posture of realizing that people can see things and point them out and spell them out and help me. That's why we do community groups around here, not just to give great information, though that's their community groups, but whether it be the basics or parenting or marriage or whatever, it's to get connections with other people who can see you and speak things into your life that you might not be seeing yourself. Now, here's the scary thing about wisdom. Here's how this all comes out. I think this is really insightful because it comes from the Bible. It's very insightful, but especially because it fits my experience of what I've seen. Wisdom now says, if you're simple, if you're wise, if you're mocker, you know, if you're a fool, listen to me, apply my words, see the pattern, do it. And here's what it picks up in verse 24 of Proverbs 1. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. The complacency, the laziness of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now again, this is wisdom speaking. This isn't God speaking. I mean, God's inspiring this, but this is wisdom speaking. And what wisdom is saying, this metaphorical person of wisdom says, there will come a day where you will want me. There will come a day where you will come and you will have your life in such a pile that you will call out to me and say, I want to know the right thing. I want to see patterns. What's the right thing? And wisdom says, it will be too late. You call me and you've been mocking me, there'll come a day I will mock you. You call me and want an easy out, and there won't be an easy out. Again, this is not God. Call to God anytime you want. God wants, no matter how wrecked your life is, to talk with him, reach out to him. That's awesome. But wisdom is simply saying this. If you continue to go down the destructive path you get to a place in life where there's no simple patterns to notice to get yourself back. There's no simple answers. There's no simple thing of, oh, if I do this, I'll get... You'll get to a place where after decision, after decision, after decision, mocking after mocking after mocking, foolish heart after foolish heart after foolish heart, where wisdom will say, I can help you. Too little, too late. And why is this here? It's not here to shame those of us who haven't listened to wisdom. It's here to tell all of us where we are right now. The best time to be wise is right now. To actually do the thing that you're sensing. Follow through on the pattern now that you're noticing. Whatever it is, however difficult it is, that is the life of wisdom. That is the life of value. I want Todd band, they're going to come back out, and we're going to do this song again, and we're going to ask that somehow in this song, God sheds his light on us, and God enables us to see the pattern that we need to take. I know right now, many of us are pivotal, critical decision points. And the reason it's difficult is because you need to choose a specific path. Whether or not you want to go the path of the fool and the path of the mocker, whether or not you want to choose the wise path of God that leads to a life of value, but for the next step is going to make you be weird because other people aren't doing it. And that's because few people are wise. Father, I pray for the simple in here right now. The simple that just has not seen patterns, either because of wisdom or busyness or whatever. Pray for the simple, the naive, that take another step and comfort them and nurture them in their simpleness. I even pray for the mocker. I know that those in here are mocking. Me doing what I said today was like shooting a pea at a tank. It just bounced right off them. But nonetheless, you can change hearts that mere words or public presentations can't. And actually, what I do pray for them, if they're not going to change, I pray that they would not destroy the person they're going to be in the car riding home with, who is actually trying to go to a new step. I pray for the fool. Or the one who has foolish behavior patterns. Help that person, help us to see that it's just not worth it. It's worth the hard work right now. It's not worth taking the easy way out. And I thank you for the wise in here, the wise that grows and walks and builds into all of us. Help them see even more patterns and take steps that are a blessing to this entire world. Shine your light. Shine your light on every last person in here.
God, I ask you to make that an honest prayer from everybody in this room. That as we come to know who you are, it just shines light into who we are and what we need to be about. So we ask that you help us to apply what we've heard this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday at Next Level or next weekend.